happy days.
Oh, that's right. We're back here in a rainy Palm Harbor, right up the street from Tampa, over here at the Innsbruck Resort here. Some have considered this convention purgatory. Curtis Loftus, though, the treasurer for South Carolina, is right here with us. Do you consider this purgatory?
And being here with you is like heaven.
Oh, God. Did you record that now?
Tampa is really not ideal in some ways for a convention because it's spread out and there's water in the middle of it. And while it's beautiful, there are a lot of people who are a lot away. This ought to be a bus convention because we are always on the bus.
Right.
We have to have an authorized policeman or secret service on the bus. They go through and sweep the bus and smell it for all sorts of bombs and chemicals and things like that. And if there's any interruption, you have to start all over. So we were on the side of the road last night for about an hour. They held us from going to an event because somehow our guy got off the bus and did something. So it's interesting. It's fun. It's I think we need a more compact city. But we'll live.
We'll live. Well, I know they were talking about some sunshine Wednesday or Thursday, so maybe we'll be able to see the best of it. Right now, the rain is pouring down on the golf course. Well, did you get out there and play any golf?
No. You know, I quit playing golf. You know, I was going to actually hit a few balls and see how it felt. We can only hope that when the hurricane does come ashore, and there's always grief and havoc for somebody, but the Midwest of the country is just in bad shape. Kansas, it's awful. And hurricanes are the way the Lord sends us water. And we got to hope it doesn't do much damage and it goes up there because the crops and the animals and plants
really need it. So, Curtis, I know you're excited to be here. You, of course, have worked hard. You are actually the head delegate, Hunter, is that right?
Yeah, chairman of the delegation.
That's right. So what do you think about the group that is assembled here from South Carolina?
It's a good group. You know, I think people should know there are very few elected officials. I think that's great. I think there are a lot of people who work hard. There's a guy down your street in your neighborhood who's always been a conservative. He likes the Republican Party. We've got some really conservative grassroots people here. And so it's a different kind of mix. You might think you get this kind of corporate Republican Party. That's not their group. You've been here today. You know it's a different kind of crowd, and I'm really happy about that. I think it more accurately represents the average person in South Carolina.
Well, you know, I think that's one of the questions about the Republican Party, isn't it? Does it represent the average person? That's been the big question.
I think that the national parties, both the Democrat and Republican, they don't. But I think the state party does. I think the state Republican Party, especially when you look here, I mean, there might be, what, 2-3 elected officials here?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is, and they have full-time jobs, or they're retired, or whatever the situation is, they had to come here, pay their own way. Special interests didn't pay their way to get here. And it's not cheap to be here. You didn't get
no, it's not.
Tell me about it. I had to pay my own way, too.
Right.
So I'm excited about it. I'm thankful that the country is ready for common sense leadership. And we can only hope and pray that's what's going to happen.
What do you think are going to be some of the highlights of the convention, other than Romney speaking or Paul Ryan? What do you think are some of the highlights of what's going to be happening this week?
Well, you arriving in Tampa was a big deal.
Thank you.
There we go. You know, it's always the unexpected thing. So, you know, you think you know what's going to happen. I'm not trying to dodge your question,
right. But
we think we know what's going to happen. Oh, golly, we don't know what's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen. There's been some rule changes that were attempted, and we moved to block them in some other states. We thought that they were giving the Republican National Party too much power, so we moved to bring those back. It'll be interesting. Something's always around the corner. You know, me and everybody else, I think we have an idea what's going to happen at the election. But if you think back, there's always an event that happens. People forget that John McCain was ahead before the whole TARP crisis, before the crash in October of just a month before the election, or not even a month, just a couple weeks before the election. John McCain was ahead. Barack Obama was behind. And people forget that. So who knows what's going to happen this time?
Now, just how do you feel? It just seems to me that President Obama is really, he doesn't seem to have his feet on solid ground when it comes to this election. He seems to be going at it from a lot of different angles. I think a lot of us thought that he would have the same type of machine and everything going back that he did in 2008, but it seems a little different this time.
Yeah, he had a lot of people hoping and praying for him. I know I didn't vote for him, but there were a lot of honest and honorable people who thought, man, this would be great. If this guy could pull this off, if an African-American could come in here and really do something that maybe see the country in a different way that the rest of us did, maybe it would work. And I can see that. I can understand that. You know, I didn't vote for him, but I can understand that. But he didn't. The problem we have in America is that by the time you get to the top, you had to be an incredibly disciplined, hard-nosed person, and you really got to be a bit of a narcissist. You've got to do whatever it takes to get to the top. One reason I was attracted to Mitt was he's just not that kind of guy. He's gotten there because he's just overly smart. I mean, he's just been disciplined. He's let people beat up on him.
Think that could be a problem for him, though?
No, well, most people haven't been paying attention, you know. I think that now, you know, after our convention and after the Democratic Party convention in Charlotte a couple weeks, I think we're going to see this race officially joined, and we're going to see a lot of difference. But getting back to it, you know, Obama had to be a very special person to get where he was. And he told us what I think is a bill of goods. And I don't like to speak ill of him. I think we do too much of that. But the things he told us just didn't come true. And I think reasonable people, honorable people will say, okay, it's time to change. Let's see what we can do. I think that sometimes things happen for a reason. And a guy like Mitt Romney, who, you know, he's not the best politician. He's not the smoothest guy. He's not the most comfortable with everybody. But if you've got a problem, I can promise you, there's no better person to take that problem to than Mitt Romney.
I certainly hope you're right, because I think this financial cliff, I'm real concerned about the fact of sequestration, and I'm also concerned about what might happen if President Obama does lose the election. What type of wrath? Because he wasn't too happy in 2010 when the House went Republican.
You say if Obama loses the election?
Right, if he loses.
Well, I think that one of the strengths of Romney, which has been used against him, he's not all that political. He's not the best politician. I think he's going to be a working president. Where you've seen presidents mountain biking, you've seen presidents golfing, all this stuff that presidents now try to be like the common man, that's all spin. You know, they live in a world different from us. I think you'll see pictures of Romney at his desk. I think you'll see pictures of him having meetings all day long about business, about the economy, about defense, whatever it is, he's going to work. Now, I'm not saying that Obama doesn't work. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he's lazy or he's dumb. I'm not saying any of that. But what I am saying is the difference between the guy who says, I see the problem and I will fix it and I am responsible, as opposed to somebody who's going to delegate, he's going to have a lot of theories. Romney's a working guy. He's going to make it work.
Well, I know that this convention is going to be, this election is going to be huge. This convention is going to be huge. We're only going to have 3 days, so they really are doubling up and double packing stuff in there. Governor Haley is going to speak, I think, tomorrow night, 9:45, so they have already reshuffled the schedule.
I think that tomorrow's day starts at 2 o'clock, and we'll finish probably at 2 a.m.
2 a.m.
Because we're all on a bus together, so we have to travel on a bus. You can't travel by car. If I show up as the state treasurer, as the delegation chairman, in a car, they're not going to let me in. So you got to travel on a bus. So we have several events afterwards. So, I don't know, we might have people sleeping in the bus. I don't know how it's going to work out.
Well, I'll be there. I'm going to be partying on the bus with you guys.
That's exactly right. Are you coming down the floor?
Yes, absolutely. I have all the official badges to be down there.
Well, what's the most important thing? You know, lots of times, and I'm 53 now, I'd be 54 on the 8th of September, and I will expect my expensive gift, by the way.
Okay, all right.
I am all prepared for that.
Those shout-outs on the radio are very expensive.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
But what's important? I mean, it's all said and done. There's a lot here. There's a lot of politicians posturing. There's special interests trying to get a leg up. There's money floating around. There's huge corporate interests. What's important here? Lord said it the best. What you do for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you do for me. We have got to remember that we are here to serve the people of our state. And for South Carolina, we are not a wealthy state. And the state as a whole, I think the average per capita income is $33,200. And Greenwood is $28,000. So it's less. We have got to think, how can we turn this Republican National Convention? And I want my Democrat friends, and I have lots of them, I want them to say, how can we turn our Democrat Party Convention, how can we turn this into something that benefits our people? I don't believe in more government. I just believe in efficient government. We got to make sure that the barriers between us and business, us and good education, us and living the life we want to live are gone and pushed aside. And that's what we have to do. We have to think about those people. The one thing about these big conventions, you don't see the life you left behind. You know, it's unreal. We come to these hotels. This isn't a true luxury hotel. It's a nice place, but it's not, you know, it's not five stars. And we're not eating big steaks every night, things like that. We buy a drink, got to buy it yourself, you know.
Okay.
But it's not the life that the average person in South Carolina has. And I am haunted by that because it is my responsibility. I've got to do a better job at serving. I don't do the job I should. I've got to be better tomorrow than I am today. And what we got to do is figure out how do we make the whole convention sit that way? How do we make America a better place, one person at a time? Because no matter how much I think of Mitt Romney, he can't do it by himself. Barack Obama couldn't do it by himself. George Bush couldn't do it by himself. We have to do it together. So we just have to make that prayer that we can somehow turn this to be about the people and not about the leaders.
Well, Curtis, I don't think anybody could have said it any better here on just sitting here on talking on a rainy Monday afternoon. But, Curtis, you've done an excellent job of trying to rein in the costs and everything down there at the state treasurer's office.
Well,
have you got anything more to report on what's happening with our with anything? I know you were auditing stuff and you're trying to figure out all these big policies that nobody else is supposed to look at.
Yeah.
So have you gotten through on this?
I've got to tell you about Loftus's law of large pots of money. Is the larger the pot of the money, the less scrutiny there is. You know, the person working, say, your cash treasurer, she's got to balance up every night or she's out the door.
Right.
But the people who lose a lot of money in state government never lose their jobs. And in some areas, I'm happy. But when it comes to this retirement system and the investment commission, and I've been reading emails today that I've gotten from the investment commission, it's maddening. I don't think the people of the state have any idea how careless they are with the truth. I fight with them constantly, and it is a overwhelming task that I see before me. They have $25 billion of money, and they don't want anybody to know what they do with it. Oh, they make moaning, groaning. They say, oh, we have transparency. But you can say that, but you got to do it. You know, to have a meeting that's public, sure, that's fine. But if nobody really comes and nobody understands it, what is the difference?
Exactly.
And when I ask questions and when I want them to source documents, it is a continual fight. We have a newsletter just gone out, and I asked them to source the documents for me. I asked them to give me all the information, and they told me no. So I'll source it myself this weekend. I'll spend 10 or 12 hours. I'll make that work. But we're going to give out good information. I am tired of the Investment Commission of South Carolina that invests $25 billion of your money not being truthful, and I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure the truth is out there on the table.
Didn't I hear somebody on the radio talking about, well, we've lost some money because of the economy and everything, but that wasn't that bad?
Yeah, the chairman, who is now under investigation by the State Law Enforcement Division and Ethics for dealing, he's doing business with a fund, essentially, and I just think that's wrong. Nobody should do business with public's money when they sit on the commission and their job is to protect that money. But North Carolina made four times as much money as we did. And they paid less fees. So are there national market fluctuations? Sure there are. It's how you manage those. We're going to be down, or we will make probably 0.33%, and we paid a whole lot of money in fees. North Carolina made 2.25%. I think. They're about four times as much as we made, and they paid less in fees. We've got to do better. But see, they'll use figures, they'll use facts, they'll shade the truth. They use stuff out of context. And frankly, I'm tired of it. You can tell by my conversation today, I'm at my patience limit. And I'm going to talk about it because I want Ann Eller and everybody in Greenwood County to start paying attention. And I want them to call them and ask them, you know, why did you make a quarter of the percentage of return that North Carolina made? And until we get that, we're not going to get it because I'm just one guy. And they're going to fight me tooth and nail to the end. And I need help.
To the phrase, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Well, state government is not going to help me. The people in state government, I've talked to every one of them. And they're, you know the comic strip, I'm right behind you, brother?
Yeah.
That's the way they are. But who is the ultimate arbiter about what goes on in South Carolina? And that is the citizens of that state. The Ann the world, and there are others out there who are going to stand up for the truth. And if you keep giving the truth to your people, the truth will come back. And we've got to. We've got to have faith. If I have faith by myself, I can't do it. But with the people of Greenwood County and others that are helping, we can make a difference.
Well, Curtis Loftus, it is always a pleasure to have you right here on WCRS. I'm looking forward to watching you in action here for the rest of the evening. Are you going to win some political trivia here?
Well, they say that. I don't know how to play games. I don't know anything about this kind of stuff. They play some kind of bingo just now. I don't know anything about this stuff.
Time you learn.
Well, I don't know. It may be time for a nap.
Well, I know we've got a lot to do, and I do suggest that everybody should get an early night tonight because it is going to be a huge day tomorrow.
That's right. We are fortunate that those of us who were able to make this trip, the Lord has smiled upon us. The people of our community has allowed us to come down here, and the burden is on us. It is not on the people of Greenwood. It is the people here in this building to make sure that we serve them. And Ann, thanks for helping us.
Thank you very much for being on here, Curtis.
Thank you.
All righty. We've been talking to Curtis Loftus, our state treasurer here. He's a passionate man, and he always is when I have him on the radio. I've never had him on where he just was, oh, well. So, Curtis, thanks for being on with us here today. I am Ann Eller right here with you. Gosh, let me see. What time is it? Is it exactly 5 o'clock yet or not? We've been having a good time. It's raining down here in Tampa, folks. Actually, we are up the street here. So why don't we, Andy, why don't you give a ID at the top of the hour, and I'll be back after the news. Don't you go away.